the CougarFan.com Rise and Shout Podcast, Season 9, Episode 382. This is a weekly conversation about BYU sports between me, Adam Mangum, and my brother Matt. Equal parts analysis, fan talk, and complete nonsense. It's Rivalry Week, and Matt and I break it all down on this week's show. Get all of your BYU sports news at CougarFan.com. Subscribe to our show on iTunes. Rise and Shout, Cougars. It's game time. So last week, we talked about that I will be at FanX in Salt Lake City. Also, the artist formerly known as Salt Lake Comic-Con. But they had to stop saying that.
Why did they have to stop saying that? Is it Comic-Con's like an owned thing?
Yeah, I believe they were sued by San Diego Comic-Con. The Comic-Con. It seems like that's not something you should be able to own. Maybe so. I don't know. It's now called the Salt Lake Comic... So FanX Salt Lake Comic Convention.
Oh, there we go. So we just spelled out the shortened name.
Correct. That is correct.
They should just walk around and call it the Comic Convention. They should make T-shirts that say Comic Convention.
That's right. They should. Well, I think they're trying to avoid getting sued. But I have, I'm in at least three panels. The schedule changes sometimes, but I'm in three panels that I wanted to share with the folks that are interested in such things. I will be on a panel called Dark Disney. We're going to be discussing movies from the 70s and 80s, like The Black Hole, Something Wicked This Way Comes, Watcher in the Woods, Black Cauldron, and Escape to Witch Mountain. So we're going to talk about some like forgotten classic Disney movies that were a little darker in tone. Matt, are you familiar with those ones?
I'm familiar with some of those.
Yeah, Something Wicked This Way Comes?
Oh, I remember Something Wicked This Way Comes.
That's a good one. That's scary. Then I'm on another panel that's celebrating 30 years of Tim Burton's original Batman movie.
Yes.
So I'll be on that. I'm really excited about that panel. That will be a good one. And then the last one is, so you're saying Back to the Future is BS. And we're going to be talking about the time travel paradoxes in Avengers Endgame. So those are the
That's actually panels. A fascinating topic. That's a fascinating topic.
Yeah. Three good panels. And I made, last year I was originally on two and I ended up in three. I have a suspicion here that I end up on one or two others as they finalize the schedule. So anyway,
such a panel overachiever.
The first two are on Thursday the 5th, I think that date is, and then the last one is middle of the day on Saturday. So those of you that are interested in such things, you now know. So
nerd alert.
Nerd alert indeed. Matt, guess what came in the mail today?
Oh, I think I know already because you wrote it on the agenda, but I'll let you announce it.
We got our game day T-shirts. As a fam, yes. 7 game day T-shirts.
Yes.
Do you have your game day T-shirts?
I do. We let the kids pick out their own colors, royal, dark blue, or white, and everybody just order.
Okay. Well, we did not this year. Last year, we let the kids do it, and everybody picked royal except for my then 4-year-old. And then she was really upset when everybody else said a different color. So we did all royal this year. But my wife and I, Kathleen and I, did the dry fit shirts. Spent a little bit more. Did you do the dry fit?
Those are nice. I didn't this year, but I now wish I would have.
So anyway,
maybe I still will.
So speaking of geeky stuff, I should have done this in a different order here, but I didn't. So here we are. We've got our first question from a fan today, but it's not technically the tweet bag because we'll get to the tweet.
This came out of the face bag, didn't it?
Yes, it's from Randy Whittle on Facebook. And by the way, Facebook now tells me that he's been a follower of that page for more than 2 years. That's kind of weird, but that's what Facebook told
Happy anniversary, Randy Whittle.
Happy anniversary. Does your new shorter format still include time for movie talk? If so, what was your favorite movie of the summer that wasn't Avengers? Also, are you more excited for the upcoming Star Wars movie or the TV show The Mandalorian? Have you seen the trailer for the new Disney Plus Star Wars television show directed by, or produced, I should say, by Jon Favreau, The Mandalorian?
I have.
Okay, so but we'll get that for a second. what's your favorite movie of the summer that's not an Avengers movie? So not Spider-Man, though apparently he's not going to be part of the Avengers anymore because Sony are morons. And but not Spider-Man, not Avengers Endgame. Did you even see any other movies this summer?
I was going to say Spider-Man because it was no longer an Avengers movie. Now I don't even know what to say. I mean, what else did I see, right?
I don't know. Did you see anything else?
I saw that Lion King, the new Lion
Did you
King.
like the new Lion King?
I did. I enjoyed it. I saw the new Aladdin. I enjoyed that one
What
as
about
well.
the new Toy Story 4? I haven't actually seen that one.
Toy Story 4 was
Okay,
very
so
good.
pick one.
I'm going to go with Aladdin.
I probably will also go with Aladdin, but if I had seen it, but of course I hadn't because it's an R-rated film, John Wick Chapter 3 was quite good, but I haven't seen it.
You heard it was
I
quite
was
good.
heard from friends that it might have been a fitting third chapter into the John Wick series.
The friends of yours who had seen the other John Wick movies, obviously.
Correct. Correct.
Right.
That's right, because remember, this is a BYU podcast, so
But
we're not
I
talking
thought
such
when he was
things.
asking the question though, I for real though, I thought he meant a summer movie that wasn't Avengers Endgame.
He might have. So if you
So
want to
for
say
me,
Spider-Man, that's
I
fine.
was gonna, yeah, I'd definitely go with
Yeah,
Spider-Man, far from
it was a good movie. I'd still probably pick Aladdin. Aladdin was one of my favorite movies as a kid, and I have to say it was a pleasant surprise. They made some nice modernization changes to it. The cast was very likable. The guy that played Jafar he was despicable. I wanted to punch him in the face.
It's perfect.
Like Jafar in the cartoon version is a little cartoonish. That's probably not the right way to say it. But he was a little over the top. This guy, you felt like, oh,
He
he's
was
bad.
slimy.
He's bad. So are you more
He's
excited
good.
about the Rise of Skywalker or The Mandalorian?
I'm going to go ahead and say The Rise of Skywalker just because I don't know that I will consistently watch The Mandalorian. I struggle with TV series.
What is
I
wrong
just don't
with
get
you?
into them. I just don't get into them. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Lots of people have time for that. Millions of people, maybe billions, have time for that.
I feel like you might be overshooting in terms of billions of people
Hundreds
watching
of
The
millions.
Mandalorian.
Not The Mandalorian, you idiot. Television in general. Not that specific show. I know it's not going to be billions of people watching The Mandalorian. That's who's going to be watching the Game of Thrones prequel series.
$1 million.
I think I'm more excited for The Mandalorian. You want to know why? Because it's going to be 10 hours of Star Wars instead of two. But I'm pretty excited about The Rise of Skywalker. Have you seen the new poster?
Yeah, that looks cool.
As if, in case you were wondering if the Emperor is going to somehow play into this, the answer is yes. Not just a laugh track at the end of the trailer. So, anyway. All right, wait, Randy, we had time. We answered your questions. But now it's time for us to go to the tweet bag.
Tweet bag.
First, tweet bag question is from Justin Sweeney. He
Sweeney.
sent this to us via Instagram at BYU underscore Rice Shout. Justin says, best rivalry. And by the way, this is the rivalry game tweet bag. All right. Best rivalry name. Holy War has got to be up there. Is he trolling me? Is this a troll? Am I being trolled? Because every year I say how much I hate the Holy War name.
Yeah, I think you do say that. I don't know if he's trolling you.
Or
Maybe he just
just he
forgot.
forgot. I don't know. He's been
Maybe he just
listening to us
forgot.
for like 9 years. I can't imagine he would forget that. I'll be hurt if he's forgotten how I feel about this. Okay, I won't be hurt. I don't actually
I
care
feel
about
like
the
you're
Holy War.
overreacting. I feel like you're overreacting.
I am. But Matt, do you have a favorite name for the rivalry?
If I'm going for a favorite name for any rivalry, like
No.
favorite rivalry names, that's where I went with this.
Well, then it's the Red River Shootout.
I kind of a big fan of clean old fashioned hate. Georgia Tech.
What do they call Duke in North Carolina? Why can't I think of that?
Tobacco Road. I don't know. What
I
do they
don't
call
know.
that?
I forget. Holy War's not up there for me. I don't. I've said it before, I guess I'm going to say it again. I don't like having the rivalry have a religious implication, since both schools were founded by the church. You know what I mean? I get the University of Utah is no longer associated, but it's kind of silly to me, right? And like a majority of the players on Utah, maybe it's not a majority, but a lot of them are members of the church, return missionaries. The coaching staff at University of Utah is littered with Cougars. Like I find it to be weird. It's not like Catholics versus Mormons, like when we played Notre Dame, right? Where it's two religions. I don't know. I don't like the Holy War. I don't know what the is it Red River Shootout? Am I getting that right?
Red River Shootout, that's Texas,
Texas
Texas,
and
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma. Gosh, best rivalry names.
I'm telling you, the best one is clean old
College
fashioned hate.
football
That's pretty cool.
rivalry names. I'm Googling. I'm Googling. Ooh, of course, SB Nation ranked more than 170 of them.
Maybe, but some of these, I don't know, like the world's largest outdoor cocktail party. That one's kind of a fun one. What's interesting is I just out of Googling this ended up on an Athlon sports site where they had the Holy War ranked as the best rivalry nickname in college football. And Red River Shootout was number two.
This SB Nation one has Brawl of the Wild, which is Montana, Montana State. They also call it the Cat Grizz or the Grizz Cat. That's actually pretty good. Bedlam, that's a pretty good one. Hate, you're right, it's good, but Bedlam, Oklahoma and Oklahoma State's pretty good. 100 miles of hate, that's Middle Tennessee and Western Kentucky. If those schools were interesting to me, that might be more interesting. Cincinnati, Louisville is the battle for the keg of nails. That's fantastic.
That's pretty good.
I like Red River Shootout. The Border War, Kansas and Missouri, it's named after an actual war. That's kind of big. Yeah, this one has the Holy War as 20th, and by the way, that's not just ours, apparently. That's
Oh,
also
there's others that are called that?
Boston College and Notre Dame. Is that true? They've got it said here.
That's
I've never
interesting.
heard that. We grew up in
I've never heard it
Massachusetts.
called that, but that's interesting because it's two Catholic schools, right?
Yeah, I don't ever remember hearing that. Oh, and Backyard Brawl, Pitt in West Virginia, is a good one. Iron Bowl, is that cool or not cool? I don't
It's a
know.
cool rivalry, but like that's a lame rivalry name.
Yeah, I don't know the
You know what
history
I
behind
mean?
that one. So I don't know what that one means. I'm sure someone will tell us. Anyway, all right, Justin, I picked Red River Shootout. You picked what? The Holy War? What did you pick as your favorite? Hate? I don't even see this on here.
Clean old fashioned hate.
Oh,
It's
okay.
Georgia, Georgia Tech.
That seems like too much. Seems like over the top. I'm
Nah,
not
they
sure I
hate
like
each
that.
other. Hey, those schools really hate each
All
other.
right. So Daniel Smith, also via Facebook, and you can send us questions via Facebook at facebook.com/riseandshout. You can also watch our InstaShout videos there and on Instagram. I use ours lately, loosely, ours, Ours, because I really should be saying mine,
I'm
right?
going to come in and surprise you all when you're least
Adam in
expecting.
Wichita. Oh, Adam in Wichita asks again, when are you going to be sending yours?
Oh, little Adam in Wichita.
Stop calling him little Adam. That's insulting to our listeners. Okay.
He's a little kid, isn't he?
Nah, you're a little kid. All right. Daniel Smith says, how many times are you going to watch this hype video? And he links to a YouTube BYU official. I believe this is an official
It
video,
is.
right?
It looked like official
And
to
it had
me.
the Nike swoosh in the corner too. How many times are you going to watch that before this game on Thursday? Well, I've already watched it 5 times, so I don't know how
Wow,
many more
I
times.
was excited because I watched it 3 times in a row immediately after I saw his question.
I
And then I
had,
made my whole family watch it.
yeah, we did it for family on evening tonight. So,
We watched it for dinner.
all right, there we go. I don't know how many, Daniel, but again, multiple times, and probably right before the game. On Twitter, we got a question from at Conaway in 89. He says, and this was from last week. We didn't get to this one. It came in as we were recording. Hashtag tweetbag, hashtag Mount Tonga. He says, what will be Kairos Tonga's stats at the end of this year playing at a lower weight? Over under, he gives us 6 sacks, 8 tackles for loss, 25 tackles total, and 2 blocked field goals. Matt, over under 6 sacks for
I have
Kairos
to take
Tonga.
You over here because I picked
you
him to be
did.
The sack leader.
Yeah. 25 tackles. I'm going to take the under on the sacks, but the over on the tackles for loss at 8.
Okay. I'm taking the over on the tackles for a loss. I'm taking the under on the 25 tackles.
I'm going to take the over, but just barely. 2 blocked field goals, I'm going to take the under.
Also taking the under.
All right.
Conaway, but that's what's tough about that, what's tough about Tonga's position, right, is that it's not a stat-heavy position.
Well, and he's going to be double-teamed often.
But which is why you have him there, right? Like, you have him there to soak up blockers.
Yeah.
And allow other people to make tackles.
Well, it's
interesting. That's what he's there for. Or to push a center or a guard, you know, down the quarterback's throat.
I'm not jumping into our preview because we got one more thing to talk about before the preview, but I'm going to find it fascinating against these Power 5 schools, particularly Utah, Washington. I don't know as much about Tennessee yet. I haven't dove into their offensive line yet, but it'll be interesting to see against a couple of these teams. If I think a key to beating BYU defensively, beating their defense, will be having an offensive lineman who can take him one-on-one, right? Because then you can use that other lineman to go to the next level and take out a linebacker, right? And I think that's a massive, it's something to watch on Thursday night. And basically against some of these lesser opponents, it's not going to matter because they're not going to have somebody that can handle them. So they're going to have to double team them. Boise might, but everybody else on the schedule. And again, like I said, I don't know Tennessee well enough to know just because they're Tennessee doesn't mean they have a guy that can do it, but they might. But it'll be interesting to see if they even try some of these bigger, and again, not every play, he's not going to get double teamed every play, but on key plays, particularly run plays in that middle of the formation, what do they do with Tonga? It'll be interesting. Gary Payne says, and that's at FastBreakGP on Twitter, and you can tweet us at BYU_RightShop, says, besides win-loss, what is the strongest indication that Zach Wilson is progressing to become the elite QB we all want? Hashtag tweetbag, hashtag paintbag. Matt, what's the strongest indication that Zach Wilson is progressing to become an elite QB?
So two stats I'm going to be watching, but I'm not sure where I'm drawing the line on these, are going to be his completion percentage and his touchdown interception ratio. And so, and for me, that's going to tell us, you know, is he really developing into what we expect him to be? But like I said, I'm not sure what number I'm looking for, especially on that touchdown interception ratio. I'd have to think about that, but it's like one of those things, right? Like when you see a good ratio there, you see a good percentage. And you know that that's what you want.
Yeah, I mean, those are two great stats. I really like yards per pass attempt. That's not just all on Zach Wilson. Obviously, receivers got to get open down the field. But if you look at the best quarterback seasons we've ever had, they've had, you know, 8, 8.5, 9, 10, 11 yards per pass attempt, right? And you know, not all of them. John Beck, for example, in 05 had a pretty good year at 7.2. But if you look at Zach Wilson and where he could be, I think that's something, you know, Riley Nelson in 2011 had an 8.5, right? I think we've got to be up there. And I think the other thing is, I'm not looking at wins or losses, right? If BYU opens 0-4 and the offense is just churning out 500 yards a game, and he looks great. That's not on Zach Wilson, right? So I think wins and losses.
It's not like a pitcher statistic, right? Which I also think is flawed. Like the wins and losses for pitchers. I think lining up quarterbacks that way isn't the best way to look at it either.
Well, Baker Mayfield made himself sound like an idiot. Well, that's isn't the first time, but this week when he called out in a interview for GQ or something, right? I don't, why do these guys do
I
these
don't know.
interviews? Morons.
What's Baker Mayfield doing, man?
But when he called out the Giants for drafting Daniel Jones, number one, which if you wanted to say, number one, I just wouldn't, as a quarterback fraternity, just leave it alone, dude, right? But if you're going to comment on it, you question it based on Daniel Jones' ability to play in the NFL, not on his win-loss record at Duke, right? Like, I find that stuff like mind-numbing to me. That, there were a bunch of quarterbacks that went undefeated in college or close thereunto, right? Who didn't pan out because their teams were just amazing, right?
Well,
And
and
vice
is
versa.
Baker Mayfield could be in that category. Like, the jury is still out on you, Baker Mayfield.
Right,
Like,
right. You're not even in
I
year
it's
two.
just, yeah, I'd simmer down there, buddy. Like,
Yep. Glass houses and all that. So,
Johnny Manziel won a lot of football games in college too.
he did win a lot of football games in college. How did his pro career work out? I don't remember. And by the way, Zach Wilson had 8.7 yards per pass attempt last year. If he gets up in those mid nines to 10, I think we're going to feel really good about the season. All right, Matt,
I'd
it's
agree with
time
that.
for this week's big Y. And no, we are not calling it the Wilkinson Lounge. Though it was great to sing some John, by the way, last week. Wait a second. We're missing a TweetBag question. There's one about, where did I find it? There's one about your love of Barry Manilow.
What? How did I miss this?
I don't know. Where is that? I'm gonna have to search for that here in a minute. But there was something about your love of Barry Manilow somewhere. I'll find it. Somebody asked about your love of Barry Manilow. We'll get back to
How many
that.
times are you going to use the phrase "your love of Barry Manilow"?
As many times, Matt's love of Barry Manilow. I should have made it clearer, right? I should have made it a little clearer. So Matt, let's talk about the Utah game. But before we get to the game itself, BYU sent out its printed its first depth chart of the year. We're not going to go position by position because people can look at that themselves. It looks a lot like what Brandon Gurney and other people that cover the team said it would look like. Any surprises to you?
Not so much surprises for me. It'll be interesting to see where Dimitri Gallo ends up as he is able to spend more time with the team, and what that does with the rotation in the defensive backfield. But other than that, I don't see. There's nothing out here that's really jumping out at me.
Yeah, me either. I mean, we knew Gunwalaku was going to be, we had heard lots of reports he was going to be starting as the cornerback on that other side, right? From D'Angelo Mandel. And the other piece that we had heard recently on the kicking side is Jake Oldroyd had won the field goal kicking duties, but Southam's going to do kickoffs. And then punting, Oldroyd is also going to do punting, which he was not a punter before his mission, was he? I don't remember him punting at all.
Yeah, I
I
don't
think that was
remember.
like a surprise this year. And then other than that, on the wide receivers, I mean, this was the one shocker to me is that Romney technically is not listed as a starter. I mean, he's listed as a
Yeah,
your
but that's one of
starter
those
with
or
Simon.
deals, right?
Yeah, but Micah Simon? He's not outplaying Micah Simon. Nothing against Simon. Like, I'm not trying to hate on the guy, but that's a little concerning to me. Are they trying to send him a message? Is he not playing well? Is this like Bushman last year? Did he not come in prepared and ready to roll? It's a little concerning to me. Is it con you don't seem concerned.
No, I think that probably has more to do with formations they expect to be running and how many receivers they want to have out on the field.
Well, I'm going to be
So
annoyed if
it'll be
this is
interesting to
like
see what they
Bushman.
do with it.
I'm going to be annoyed if this is like Bushman next year and we lose games because we're trying to teach somebody a lesson. Just throw him the dang ball, right? If he's ready to go. Because, gosh, that thing with Bushman last year drove me nuts. All right, well, let's move on to the game itself. Well, before we do that, a little bit about University of Utah. Jake Terry on Facebook says, longtime listener, first time tweet bagger. What are your reactions to Lee Corso picking the Utes to make the college football, not just the playoff, but the championship game? Matt, what are your...
Playoff? Playoff? I mean, really? Really? Like, nobody actually believes this is going to happen, do they?
They're getting a lot of hype right now. I mean, the hype train for the University of Utah has left the station, and, I don't think it affects outcomes, though. It can maybe, I guess, if the players buy into their own press clippings too much and don't focus. I don't think that'll be a problem this week. But it could be, a problem throughout the season if they start getting on a roll. But other than that, none of this means much to me. I mean, it's just preseason, people are just trying to, I think Corso's just trying to pick somebody that's not one of the obvious picks, right? You can't put Clemson, Alabama, Georgia, and, I don't know, pick other obvious answer into the championship. You got to throw somebody else in there, right?
Sure, you just got to mix it up every once in a while, I guess. But you're talking about a team that a couple weeks ago was everyone's surprise pick to compete for their division. And coming out of a conference that has not made noise in the college football playoff, right? The likelihood that this actually comes to pass is so small. I feel like you're kind of saying here, this is a pick that people are making to be cute, to have something to talk about on pregame shows. That's all that is.
I don't disagree with you. I think the Pac-12, one of these years they're going to have a team that makes it back in there, right? Not saying it's going to be this year, it's going to be the University of Utah, but they are a good enough conference that they can, I mean, they're a better conference than the Big 12 overall, which sometimes has hurt them because they beat each other up a little bit. But I'm not buying Utah in the college football playoff yet. I mean, they certainly weren't good enough last year. And we're talking about a lot of the same players as last year. Not totally. And, if they do make the college football playoff, I don't expect them to advance against either Clemson or Alabama. Okay.
Well, and what's interesting, if you look at win probabilities that SB Nation has for on across Utah's schedule, right? They have at BYU, they've got just a 66%. At USC is 55%, so that's like a toss-up. At Washington, 39%. Like, you're not – if you can't get past Washington, that's not going to happen, right? And then forget the fact that they've got Arizona, closing in on them. I don't know how good Arizona really is. But I don't know. I just don't see that any of this really bears out. It's just – I don't know. And I really feel like I'm not saying this because of some feelings I have about the University of Utah's football program. I just think they're a real long shot to throw into your Final Four in August.
Oh yeah, I totally agree. I think it's a massive long shot. But people have long shots, and there's teams that turn in special seasons that you weren't expecting. All right, so Matt, what do we do with Utah? How good are they really? I mean, this hype doesn't change how you feel about Thursday's game, does it?
No, not even a little bit.
You don't think it gives BYU an advantage because they're going to be all worried, or all more concerned about making the college football playoff than beating BYU?
I would certainly hope not. I would hope that most teams at this level get over that stuff. I don't think that stuff sways wins and losses in games.
Yeah.
I just
agree
don't.
With you. I think there's possibility that it can, but Kyle Whittingham and his staff are top notch. I don't think that's going to be a big deal. If you look at, you talked about, with their win probability, Bill Connolly's preview on SB Nation has them at 9-3 and the 17th best team, but maybe this is one of the numbers people are looking at, Matt, is they are projected favorite in 11 of their 12 games. right? And I think that's what people are looking at is this is they should be pretty good, and there is potentially some down years coming for some of the people that they're going to play, right? And Washington is really the big who we both get to play them this year. But like you said, they're barely favorites at USC, and against us, they're a clear favorite, but not a crazy favorite. But you look at a lot of the other games, they're crazy favorites, right? In a lot of those, even Pac-12 games. But how good are they? I don't know. I mean, you look at last year, and they were a really good rushing team, a good defensive team, and kind of average to less than average in a lot of the other areas. So the real question to me is if Huntley becomes like a stud quarterback, which he is not. Sorry to offend any like the one University of Utah fan that listens to this podcast. Then I think they will be very hard to beat. And quite frankly, I don't feel good about our chances if Huntley comes out and throws has one of his best games, right? And he just has to do it for one game, right? Against us. And that's really what I really care about. Do you think this is a team that is a top 10 potential team, or do you think they're probably the top 25, top 30 team they've been the past couple of seasons?
Well, I think you got to look at their schedule and say this is a team that could potentially make a lot of noise. I don't think they get past Washington. Right now, they're like I said, they're barely favored to beat USC. They are favored to beat Washington State, who's currently ranked in the top 25, and they're favored in basically all of these other games. So if they're able to go out there and get through with just a couple of losses, yeah, they'll be ranked in the top 10 just because they're sitting in that conference. Now, what happens if they win the division, go in and aren't able to pull it out in the division champ in the conference championship game or something? Who knows what that does to them? But is this a team that I could see ranked in the top 10 at the end of the season? It is, just based on their schedule.
And one of the stories coming into this game was injuries, right? There have been questions about both Britton Covey and the Utah's running back Zach Moss, but according to Kyle Whittingham, they are ready to go for the season opener. Moss is to me the biggest concern. I mean, Covey's good too, but I think Moss is a very good running back. I think ESPN named him one of the best returning running backs coming into this season. Matt, as we look at their offense versus BYU's defense, what is your take? I mean, what does BYU's defense need to do against Utah's offense to slow it down?
I think it's going to come down to pressure on the quarterback, and that's going to be, we've talked about this a little bit the last couple of weeks. They have a talented offensive line, and we've got to be able to get penetration into the backfield, and we've got to keep Huntley contained. And then the flip side of that, because these two things always go hand in hand, is the ability to keep receivers covered. And so you're trying to minimize the amount of time that the quarterback has to make decisions and throw the ball, but you've also got to, whatever that period of time is, people have got to stay locked up and covered. So that's really the combination that I think is going to be the most important here. There's some questions, as you noted, with the health at the running back position. And I think that we've got the talent inside the box to slow down the running game off of this team.
Yeah, and we did not have to face Moss last year, right? Though Jason Shelley did a good job tearing us up with his legs as a quarterback last year. Actually, we didn't see Huntley or Moss, right, last year. But I think if
Yeah,
you
that was last year's game was like a matchup of the walking wounded on both sides of the ball.
Oh, true. I mean,
It's
there's a lot
part of
of
what made that game, it's what made that game so weird.
that it is. I mean, if you look at the box score from last year, right, and you lose 35-27, it's a terrible way to lose because you were up just 20-0, or were you up 27-0? No, just 20-0. Let's not make it worse than it was, but we did go up 27-7. Oh gosh, I mean, feeling nauseous. the defense only gave up 300 yards to Utah. I mean, it wasn't
right.
as if, I mean, the defense didn't get the stops at the end they needed to get, but it's not as if Utah's offense ran circles, but I think Utah's offense is going to be better in this game. If Moss really is healthy, then I think their ability to run the ball, I mean, last year, if you take Shelley out of the equation, they did not run the ball very well, right? Shelley did it as from the QB position, but the running backs did not do a great job. So I look at that and I say, well, gosh, you got Moss. He's going to be a little bit better. The thing for me that worries me, quite frankly, is what you just said, which is if their offensive line gets into the second level and Moss goes on a roll or their running game in general, I think it's going to be really hard for us to stop them. I mean, like you said, penetration, fill in those gaps, and it really comes down to several untested linebackers on BYU's side. So I think the most important players in this game are, you know, Jackson Kafusi or Keenan Peely there in the middle, who I guess are going to both play a lot. But I mean, you look at this, they set it up on kind of a, you know, they got a bunch of linebackers listed here, but those middle linebackers may be the most important players on BYU's defense on Thursday night.
Yeah, and I hear what you're saying, but I feel like they're at an advantage with the defensive line there.
Oh, I agree, but the question is, can they make the plays?
Yeah, right? I don't know. I guess we'll see. And how good is this Moss kid really?
Yeah. Can they get in the right places? Can they be in the right places or not? Right? And the answer is we don't know, because these guys haven't played. Right? And it's not just a matter of Tonga taking up space and the talented BYU defensive line of taking up space. Is if they pick the wrong gap, if they get out of position, if they over pursue, then it doesn't matter that Tonga did his job, right? And those type of mistakes don't show up as obviously as a defensive back blowing their coverage, but they can be just as damaging. Maybe not just because a lot of times that's a 40-yard play if they blow their coverage, but you know what I'm saying. It's a big deal. They got to do the right things. How about BYU's offense versus the University of Utah's defense?
To be honest, I'm probably watching too many highlight videos, but I feel pretty good about the offense right now. I am all in on Zach Wilson. If you look at even this highlight video that we put out here tonight, you look at this game last year, the catches that kids were making over people's heads, the throws that Zach Wilson was making. I know they got a lot of guys returning and all this, but offensively, I believe we're going to be able to crack the code. That's not where I'm concerned. I'm worried about us being able to bottle up the offense, and maybe I'm being a little too cavalier about our ability to stop Zach Moss. But offensively for us, I don't feel like that's our issue. I think we'll score. How many points did we score in this game last year? The over under's at like 40. The over under's at 48 or something right now, right?
Yeah. I'm taking the over.
I'm taking the over. I think we score enough points to keep up with them.
And I think they score a bunch of points too. I don't think this is going to be a low scoring game.
Does Moss run for 200 yards on us?
Nah, but I might take the over on 150.
I mean, this is a guy who's, you know, in two consecutive years broken 1,000 yards, right?
Well, and last year he averaged over 6 yards a carry. I mean, that's pretty good. I mean, I'm not saying he's an elite running back, but he's a very good one. And I think, you know, dismiss him, BYU fans, at your own peril, right? Because I saw some BYU fans, not people that I recognize as listeners, so I hope I'm not insulting anybody. But if your standpoint is that somebody was like, he's the third best running back in this game behind Tyson Williams and Lopini Katoa, I'm sorry, Katoa and Tyson Williams have not shown that they can have a season like he had last year. They haven't, right? And Tyson Williams has had three tries at it. And I'm not
Listen,
saying
I'm, I'm super excited about Tyson.
Right? I am too. But I think it would be great.
I think you're right. The comparison here is not the data is not the same.
The data doesn't support the assertion, right? And in the end, is Tyson Williams going to be a better running back this year than Zach Moss? It's certainly possible. It's not stupid to say that, but it is stupid today to say that Williams is a better running back because the evidence doesn't support that. And obviously, Katoa would be in that same boat. That being said, I'm not super worried about our running game from a personnel standpoint because I think we've got a couple talented guys. The real question is, for me, is if they can generate because that killed us in the second half of that last game was not being able to generate a running game. And to me, that's the thing. BYU ended up rushing for 153 yards last year. But they need to be able to, if we get another lead, you got to be able to protect that and chew up some ground there and also take pressure off Wilson so he's not running for his life from a very good defensive front. University of Utah had 3 sacks in last year's game. And would you take the under or the over on 2.5 sacks for the University of Utah?
I think you got to take the over, right? Look at the sacks that this defense put together last year, right? They had had guys with 8, 5, 4, 2 with 3 sacks, and then how many individual players had sacks on that defense last year?
A lot.
I think you got to take the over on 2.5. That's partially because of the way Zach Wilson's going to play the game, right? He's going to scramble and try and move around a little bit, but yeah, I think he gets sacked 3 times, sure.
Yeah. So let's – the line, Matt, is Utah by 5, and we both said we're going to take the over under at 48.5. We're both taking the over on that. So, Matt, what's your take on that line? Are you taking Utah at 5 or are you taking BYU?
Am I taking Utah at 5? No, I'm not. I'll take BYU to cover.
I will take BYU as well. So let's do final predictions. Because I'm magnanimous, I will let you go first.
So I've waffled on this one
your waffling is well documented.
I've gone back and forth and I don't even remember what I picked last. Do you have it in front of you? What did I pick?
I'm pulling it up. So give me a second.
It's very interesting for the listeners.
It always is when I'm picking. Your last one was the University of Utah winning.
Yeah. So, I am still there.
But you think it's going to be close?
I think it's going to be close. I think you're looking at a 28-24 win.
I think BYU wins this game 31-24. I think it's somewhat close.
By a touchdown.
By a touchdown, yes. I think, listen, this is an important game for both teams, right? University of Utah has... I am guessing in their locker room, even before Lee Corso, a belief that they can win the Pac-12. And if you can win the Pac-12, then you have a shot at getting in the college football playoff.
So that's the only thing you can do, right? That's the only thing you can do is worry about winning the Pac-12.
That's the only thing you control, right? And they can lose this BYU game and still, in theory, make the college football playoff, right? I mean, it reduces their chances substantially, but they can. BYU needs this win. Coach Kalani Sitake needs this win. Now, needing something doesn't mean you get it because...
Yeah, this who wants it more business does not actually translate into wins and losses.
But I think Sitake and them, they're going to throw everything at this game. All the trick plays, everything they've got, similar to Wisconsin last year, is going to be in this game. Utah is not going to do that. They cannot, with aspirations of winning the Pac-12, throw everything out in this game and then have nothing left in reserve, right, from a game planning standpoint for games against USC and Washington. And that Washington game's in what, October? November?
Yeah.
So I think this is the game. Now, all of that being said, Utah is a very good team, and BYU this is they can they will have to play nearly mistake-free football, right? There's going to be a couple sacks, probably a turnover or two, but if they go beyond that, this could be like that ugly game. What year was that where all of a sudden everything went wrong and we got trounced?
Yeah, it went wrong in a hurry.
This game could be like that if BYU comes out and makes several big mistakes in the first quarter and a half, right? Utah's certainly good enough to do that, but I think BYU is going to be ready, so I'm going with the Cougars here, Matt. All right, so that's our prediction, Matt. We're going to finish with our game today, which is I'm calling it BYU Mad Libs or fill in the blank or whatever. All right, so here we go. You ready? Here's the
Let's
game.
do this.
I'm going to give you a phrase. You complete it with one word missing. Okay?
All right, let's do it.
Zach Wilson is blank.
Exciting.
Exciting. That's a good one. That's a good one.
I was going to go with electric, but I like exciting better.
Boogie woogie woogie. Did I just do an electric slide reference? I just did.
That was weird.
That was weird.
It was very weird.
Zach Wilson is, I'm going to cheat, the real deal.
That's not one word.
Okay. Awesome. Legit. No, that's the word. He's legit.
What about this? Zach Wilson is truth.
Zach Wilson is truth. So equal to Zach Moss being a better running back statistically, and that's undeniable than the BYU running backs. There's not much. Zach Wilson is the better quarterback coming in this game, not based on projections, but based on how he's played last year. He is better than Huntley. And when I hear people say he's not, I'm like, that one's pretty easy for me. And Zach Wilson, I think, will be much better. All right. Kalani Sitake telling recruits that picking Utah isn't bad is blank.
Perfect.
Perfect. Tell us more.
Well, look, the way I read what I saw on this today was he told a recruit, "Hey, look, those guys are my friends. I've coached with those guys. I know those guys a long time. You'll be in good hands if you decide to go to that program." What better way is there to just deflate all of the weirdness around this rivalry than to say something like that?
Yeah,
And the other thing
for
is,
sure.
and the other thing is this, is you look at a kid and instead of like, don't And there's some psychology to this as well, in my opinion. Don't create such a hard line dichotomy between this kid's choices because you don't know how he feels about those coaches, right?
Right.
Like, Morgan Scally comes down to recruit this kid, right? Or whoever's talking to him, and this kid loves that coach. He thinks that coach is fun. That coach texts him and calls him and is excited to see him. And for you to walk in there like, water boy's mom and say, "University of Utah is the devil." Right? Like, what does that tell that kid? Like, if he already likes those guys, I think you run some risk of alienating yourself from that kid as well. So I think Kalani Sitake's approach here is spot on. It's perfect.
So for me, Kalani Sitake telling recruits that picking Utah isn't bad is expected. He coached with those guys. I haven't seen many BYU fans gripe about this. A couple of them on Twitter, but Kyle Whittingham hired him. They're friends. I mean, if you expect him to say anything else, I think you're just fooling yourself. Francis
Yeah, if Urban
Bernard.
Meyer were still there, if Urban Meyer were still there, I'd say something
Totally
totally
different. Francis Bernard excelling at Utah is blank.
I'm going to say it's okay.
I think
It's
it's
okay,
great.
guys.
I
Good
think
for
it's
him. It's
great.
okay.
Good for him.
There's no reason to, there's
I
no reason to be
always
mad about
wanted
this.
him. I felt. I mean, obviously he made mistakes. Right, and then he decided to transfer. It sounds like, from a recent interview with him, he had the option to stay and sit out a year. Decided he'd rather transfer. Right, and really nice touching story about his wife and a premature baby and tough pregnancy and all that stuff. And more power to him. I hope he has a terrible game on Thursday night, but I'm glad that he's excelling at Utah. A loss
This
against.
takes me, sorry, this takes me back to this speech I watched today where Saban gave this speech about giving players second chances and how everybody in the media wants to crucify these kids. Like, if you're not sure how you feel about Francis Bernard and or any player from BYU who gets into trouble, like, you need to go watch that speech. Where else should they be?
Yeah,
Right? Like,
I guess
people
shunned
deserve second
forever.
chances in life. People
Shunned
deserve
forever.
second chances in life. Again, I hope that he just sucks Thursday night, but after terrible. That, he can do whatever.
He'll be terrible on Thursday night. A loss against Utah will be as bad as blank. And you can use more than one word on this one if you want.
Oh, good, because I only need two. E. coli.
Technically, that might be one word.
Which I had once after an international trip, and it's awful. And that's exactly what this will feel like.
As bad as stepping on a rusty nail. All right.
It'd be terrible. I don't want to lose this game again. I'm sick of losing this game.
I'm also sick of losing that game. Next one. By the end of the year, blank will be the best running back in the state of Utah.
I'm just going to say it, Tyson.
Of course you're going to say it.
I don't even know if I believe it.
He'll still be the best running back in the state of Utah, though I'm very high on both those guys, Kotoa and Tyson Williams. Matt, we'll get out on this one. BYU season is going to be blank.
Lit.
Lit?
That's what the kids say. That's what the kids say.
You're not allowed to use that word.
I am super, I can't say lit and then follow up with, I am super excited about this season. That just doesn't sound right. But this is going to be a fun season. There's some really good games. And I'm not.
You're not.
There's some great games on this slate. And I'm excited about it. And there's a lot to be excited about with this team right now.
BYU season is going to be special. If we win 9 or 10 games, this is a special season. And I believe, as I said in our season preview shows, that we will win either 9 or 10 games. And that includes a bowl victory. So, against opponent, I don't know. So there you have it. Well, Matt, that's it for everything. Anything, last words before the game on Thursday night?
No, I'm already nervous about this game. You know that feeling, that game day feeling you get? Mm-hmm. I've already got it. I started getting it 2 days ago.
That's extreme.
We just need this game to happen. I just need the season to start. Let's go.
Let's go. Let's get it going. I mean, there was college football this last weekend. I actually didn't watch any. I had other things going on. But
I watched it. I watched it.
Of course you did.
You could have hooked that up to my veins.
That doesn't make any sense. Anyway,
It was very medium football.
Check out some more takes by us on Instagram at BYU_RiceShouter on Facebook. We'll do some videos this week, or at least I will. We'll see if Matt does anything. And of course, we will be back next week, and we're going to do a halftime show. Are you going to do a halftime show?
I think I'm in on that. We've got we have an engagement that Thursday night, but I'll be home in time to start the game on time, obviously.
All right. So let's plan on a Facebook halftime show. It'll either be Matt by himself, or it will be both of us if we can get his stuff to work without the weird echo.
Oh, I forgot about that problem.
Yeah, we probably should try that before.
Probably test that out.
Yeah, check us out on the halftime show. Check us out on Instagram. Thanks, everybody, for downloading and listening. Let's go beat Utah, and we'll catch you next time.
Go Cougars!